Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Our special guest, Tunch Ilkin, and Pastor, before I explain who Tunch is, he's a two-time now Faith in the Zone guest, and we don't do that very often.
No, we sure don't. No.
We don't, and I want to just thank Tunch for coming back on. He was with us, I think it was right around at the end of year one of Faith in the Zone, and when I called him and said, hey, can we get you back on, Pastor Ken Keltner was not in the studio when we interviewed you last time. He said, yeah, come on, I'd love to do that. He is a former offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played for the Green Bay Packers in 1993 before retiring. He is now with the Steeler Network, and he's also the pastor of the men's ministry at the Bible Chapel right out of Pittsburgh, BibleChapel.org. And last time he came on, Pastor, I got to tell you, I talked to him about their website and how good their website was, and I went back on. It's just really, really good. So BibleChapel.org is where you would go. Tunch, thanks a lot for a couple of minutes. How you been?
Oh, man, I've been great, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, Mike, when you said you've never had a guy on twice, I'm such a man. You must be hard up for guests.
No, hey, no, we're not. You know, at times we might be looking for someone, Tunch, but that you're willing to come up, and Mike always says it this way, when you're willing to stand on the mountaintop and share what Christ has been doing, we love to have the guys like that come and share with us. So, no, we're happy to have you. And I wasn't, it's first time for me, Tunch, because I wasn't on last time. I don't know what Mike sent me off doing.
No, I had you here. You just couldn't pronounce his first name. So I didn't let you in the studio. You were even practicing.
Tunch, that's cruel, man.
You've been practicing
he is
for an
tough
hour.
On me. He is. He's tough, man.
Man, I just had you sit outside the studio practicing, man. That's how I roll. If you can't say his first name, you can't come on the show. So, man,
well, I'm glad I passed so I could be on the show
well,
today.
You got here,
I'm anxious to talk to
Tunch. You got here an hour before this and just kept doing it in the mirror. Tunch. That's awesome. Hey, Tunch, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on. You're still working the radio broadcast, some TV stuff for the Steelers, and certainly doing great work at Bible Chapel. Pittsburgh Steelers, kind of like our Packers, had a pretty, well, not so much last year, I guess, but Steelers had a pretty good year, and boy, they're fun to watch, man. Offensively, they're loaded.
Yeah, you know what? The stars, Mike, you nailed it. I mean, both franchises, the Packers and the Steelers, are very similar. They draft for players that love to play the game. They're not looking for guys that love to be football players. You know, on the surface, those statements sound the same, but they're really not. A guy that loves to play the game, loves practice, loves the film prep, loves the lift, and loves the running. A guy that loves to be a football player is more enamored with what comes from it. You know what I mean? The status, the money, et cetera, et cetera. So both organizations have an elite quarterback. And when you have an elite quarterback, you're always in the hunt. And, you look at the Steelers in this past year with Le'Veon Bell and with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, guys, you would love him. He, every time he takes the field, he takes it as if no one has seen him play. He is the most competitive athlete. I've been around the game 38 years. And he is the most competitive athlete I've ever seen. He is competitive. Practice every catch he makes, he takes to the end zone. You know, you could be on your own too, and playing, you're coming out of the shadow of our goal line, man, he catches a bunch, gonna run to the end zone. And he's even competitive in walkthrough. So when you have your most talented player who's probably your hardest worker, then you really got something. So the Steelers, they fell short though, guys. I mean, it was a disappointing year. They lost to Jacksonville at home in the playoffs. There's no way that should have happened in my book, but it did. And so I think the one thing that does is that makes you hungry coming into this year.
Tunch, that was a catch, though. Don't you think that was a catch?
Well, of course. I mean, look, and I don't get into the rules of the NFL.
No, me neither, but...
Yeah, because here's the thing. I think, and I hate instant replay. And I think instant replay has ruined the game. I really do. Because now you have officials who are afraid to make calls. And, guys, when you have a rule book with chapter, article, verse, and you're trying to make a call based on that, common sense this season, especially with catches, went out the window. And, you and the three of us, we can look at a catch and we can say, yeah, that's a catch. Why? Common sense. He made. But now in the NFL, oh my goodness, did he make a football move? Did the ball move?
Yeah.
Did it come out? It's ridiculous. Now, I'm glad that they have revisited it. And they're changing.
Hey, Tunch, we were talking before you came on about I'm from Oklahoma, and so when I was down in Oklahoma, I just naturally kind of started liking the Cowboys. And don't say anything yet on that. But what happened was, we were talking about catches. The greatest catch I think I've ever seen in my life was in Super Bowl when the Steelers were playing the Cowboys, and Lynn Swann made a catch that I will never ever forget. I'm sure they got to show that around the clubhouse or something. I mean, they got a picture of that up or something, don't they? That was absolutely gorgeous.
Well, Ken, he made two great catches in that game. The one catch, I don't know if you're referring to the juggling catch or the one where he looked like he was out of bounds. And he catches the ball, and it's like he willed his body to fly back into the play. There was two great catches in that game: one down the sidelines, one in the middle of the field, on the numbers.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the one in the middle of the field, because I might have shut it off after that, so I might have missed any other catches.
But that one on the middle of the field.
I mean, he was going up against some great defensive. I think it was Cliff Harris, the safety on that or something. I mean, that was.
It wasn't against
cheap guys. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I think I just got him, turned it off after that. So I missed his.
kind of a sore loser, weren't you?
Well, I was a kid back in that day.
You weren't that young. Come on now. Faith in the Zone. We're not supposed to lie.
I'm not. I was a kid, man. I remember watching that. I was disappointed.
And that was a good catch.
Well, I did want to offer my condolences to you for being a Cowboys fan. I know it's rough.
Well, you know, I don't really want to say a whole lot on it because I have four boys. I got one that he's a devout Packer fan. I got another who's a 49er fan. I got one a Cowboy fan, one a Tennessee Titan fan. I'm going to have to work with them on the grandson because they're living in the New Jersey area now. He might turn into a Pittsburgh fan. Who knows?
Wow. That'd be great.
Steelers, my second favorite team. They always have been. And I'm not quite sure why. I can't tell you why. But and my wife as well, Terry, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the tough part was when the Packers and Steelers played in the Super Bowl. I mean, we're total Packer fans. So, but I'm happy they won. But if the Steelers, whoever they're playing, as long as it's not the Packers, we root for the Steelers. And I got a chance to go fly with the Green Bay Packer team one time to flew on the team plane and went to a Monday night Pittsburgh Steeler game.
Wow.
And Cordell Stewart had the biggest game of his life, and they beat the Packers. And Mike Holmgren sat. We got back to the airport. He sat on the bus for like an hour by himself. And people are like, come on, man, let's go. Ron Wolf was yelling, let's go. And they're like, we can't because Holmgren won't get out of the bus. And it was, yeah. But I love the people in Pittsburgh. I love the town. I've been there a couple of times. It's beautiful. I think the people are a lot, and tons, you'll know, a lot like people here in Green Bay and in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. I love that. You know, my 1 year with Green Bay was really a blessing. I mean, I was done. I was 36 years old, and I was, I couldn't stay healthy, but I was, helping with the younger guys, and Kenny Rutgers and I got to be really close. We were roomies on the road, and to this day, we try to get together once a year. And I loved my experience there. You know, Reggie and I, after years of playing against each other, several times in preseason, several times in regular season, a couple of Pro Bowls, Reggie and I, went to Bible study together, and it was like, we got to be really good buddies, and then. Johnny Holland was in the Bible study with us, and it was just a really, really, really neat experience. But the funny thing was, I come to the Packers. I think I'm 10 years older than Gruden. I think I'm 10 years older than Andy Reid. I'm the same age as Mooch. I played against Dick Geron. I played against Nolan Cromwell. I played against Ray Rhodes. I'm thinking, maybe it's time for me to get out of the game, Lord. I mean, I'm... but it was really, really a great experience, and the Packer fans were just wonderful, the most gracious people. I really enjoyed my year in Green Bay.
Hey, Tunch, Reggie White. I know he had a great love for the Lord, but he was a fun, practical joke guy, wasn't he? He's a joker. I saw this TV show that he came out with, where he was pulling jokes and things on professional ball players. Did you ever see that thing? I still talk about. He took some guys from the Jets and all out to Colorado to snow ski, and he brought a double talker in to teach him how to ski. It was the funniest thing. And they called the instructor away for a second, and they had all those guys mic'd. They didn't even know they were mic'd, and they were saying, "Did anybody pick up what he just said about how to stop?" And Reggie White was all behind all that.
Yeah, Reggie was great. And the funny thing was, Reggie was all, I mean, Reggie loved the Lord. Reggie never cussed. When I used to play against him, he'd go, "Hey, Judge, how's the family?" He was so nice. He'd go, like, how do I get mad at this guy, because I was an undersized guy, Kent. And so every time, when I play against, someone else, I would always take this David's mindset, "Lord, deliver this uncircumcised Philistine to me." And always directly, I go, "Lord, just deliver this guy who probably loves you more than me."
Oh, that's good.
That's good, Tunch.
Hey, guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. And you see now why he's one of very few that we've had on for a second time. He's just a really good guy to talk to. He's Tunch Ilkin. He played offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1980 to 1992. He earned two Pro Bowl appearances. 1988 and 1989. Played for our Green Bay Packers for a year in 93 before retiring. Also the pastor of the men's ministry at the Bible Chapel. Go to BibleChapel.org for more information on that church.
More now of Faith in the Zone. Discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Our special guest is Tunch Ilkin, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, now part of the radio and TV broadcast. The analyst on TV. Are you the play-by-play guy on the radio?
I do the color.
Okay.
You do broadcasting when you have absolutely no other marketable skills. And by the way, that wasn't a shot.
No, thanks. No, I feel great after you said that.
You know what? It's funny, though. I am just so thankful. I had the greatest job in the world. I got to play in the National Football League. Now I get to talk about it. And I only know two things. I know Jesus, and I know football. And the Lord has given me an opportunity in ministry and work to use those things to God's glory. And, you know, I'm just so very, very thankful. I can't believe how blessed I am.
Tunj, one thing that we love doing, and you did it the last time you were on, but I wasn't able to hear your testimony. And we probably have listeners that didn't get to listen to it either. We would love for you to share how you came to know the Lord, and that you know you're on your way to heaven.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing, Kent, is that I grew up a Muslim.
Wow.
And, you know, I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. I come to this country to play American football. growing up as a Turkish Muslim, you know, we worship masculinity. And I, like many American men, was looking for masculinity in all the wrong places, in drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, et cetera, sports. And I thought Christians were goofy, and I thought they were weak, and I wanted nothing to do with them. I came to the Steelers, and it's funny how God has a sense of humor, because, you know, God pursues us like a jealous lover. And he started putting people in my life in college to tell me about himself. I was down at Daytona Beach on spring break, doing what many people on spring break do. And Campus Crusade was down there. They were doing some stuff on the beach, like slow motion football and tug of wars and stuff. And a guy came up to me and started sharing about Jesus with me. And normally I push those guys away, but this guy, for whatever reason, you know, I didn't. And there was a power lifter at Indiana State who wanted to tell me about Jesus, and I kind of listened. But it wasn't until I came to the Steelers that I met John Cole and Mike Webster and Donnie Shell and John Stallworth. And my roommate was Craig Wolfley for 10 years on the road in training camp. And I met a bunch of men who loved Jesus, loved each other, and loved me. And immediately I knew that these guys had something that I didn't have. And I knew that these guys lived a life that demanded an explanation. And if you talk to them and you ask them what was the most important thing in their lives, they wouldn't say Pro Bowls, they wouldn't say Super Bowls, they wouldn't say money. They'd say that they each had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember thinking to myself, can you really have a relationship with God? And I always tell people I fell in love with the body of Christ before the person of Christ, because these guys, they were different, and you know, they had a sense of purpose, and they just seemed so fulfilled, and they were quick to share that. On a flight home from a Monday night football game, my second year in the National Football League, Mike Webster asked me the question that every man, woman, and child has to answer. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? And how do you know? And I remember he caught me on the back of the plane. And I was trying to get around him. And, you know, you don't get around him. He's from what? Tomahawk.
Wisconsin. Yeah, he's a Wisconsin. He was a Wisconsin boy.
Yeah, and Webby was the best. But Webby had such a gentle side. And so, what happens when you die? And I said, gee, Webby, I don't know. And I said, if God grades on a curve, I immediately thought about my Muslim upbringing. You know, we believe in a scales-type salvation. If you good, I was dead. But there's a saying in Turkish, Allah bilir, which means God only knows. It's almost like Allah is a whimsical God, and he can decide yay or nay independent of what you did. And so, but then I remember he said, well, God doesn't grade on a curve, Tunch. And he said, because God is holy, holy, holy. That's what the Bible tells us. In his holiness, he must be just. And in his justice, he looks upon his sinners, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, God's standard. We have a sin problem, according to Romans 3:23. Mm-hmm. And he said the penalty of that sin, or the wages of that sin, once again we're going right to, what do you earn, is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life, and it is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time someone really explained it to me. Mm-hmm. And I went, wow, I know I'm a sinner, because I was a druggie and an alky and a fornicator and a fighter and not a good person, a very empty person. And so I knew I was a sinner. That wasn't hard for me to get my brain around. But I thought to myself, he explained to me that when Jesus hung on that cross 2,000 years ago, he did so to pay the price for my sin and yours. And as a kid, when I used to watch the stories, the greatest story ever told, the movies about Jesus, whenever he would stand before Pilate, I would scream at the TV, ignorant of why he came to die, but yelling, tell him you didn't do anything. Tell him you didn't do anything. You know, and of course, Isaiah stood before his accusers like a sheep before his shearers. And, mm-hmm. I realized at that point that, oh, you mean he came to die. He came to pay the price for my sin. And I remember thinking to myself, can it be that simple? Hmm. And my roommate, Craig Wolfley, who grew up in a Christian home, and his father was dying of leukemia. And I remember asking him, how are you handling this thing? You've got to be losing it. Your dad's dying. And he said, in one respect, I am touched, but in another, that I'm not. Because I know when my dad closes his eyes here on earth, he will open his eyes in the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible tells us, absent from the body in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because my dad's going to heaven, not because he's a great guy, but because he loves Jesus. And because Christ already paid the price for his sin. Mm-hmm. And he is a Christ follower. And he said, for the testimony of 1 John, for this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this eternal life is in his Son, Jesus. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not. And I remember thinking of and it was funny. This started happening all at the same time, and I picked up a copy of Helen Z's The Late Great Planet Earth, because I was very intrigued with end-time prophecy. So Wolf and I are doing a football banquet, and he's, he feels me weakening, and he says, would you like to pray to receive Christ? And I remember thinking to myself, and I remember saying, no, that would be too weird. I need a little time to process this. And as I'm getting out of his car, he dropped me off at home. He said, don't wait too long. I'd hate for you to die before you had that chance. I looked back at him going, wow, good point by you. And I went in, and I was reading Lindsay's book. And at the end, he gives you an opportunity to recite the sinner's prayer. And I did it. And I remember the next day in the locker room, I said, hey, you'll never guess what I did. And he said, what? I said, I asked Jesus in my life. And what really shocked me was how happy all these guys were. You know, way to go. You know, welcome, Tunch, man. But, you know, the Bible tells us that in the heavens there's a great celebration going on right now. And all these, you know, that was February of 1982, Pastor, and, yeah, I've never looked back.
We're talking to Tunch Ilkin, former offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, now on their radio broadcast, Pastor.
Tunch, that was absolutely beautiful. How God worked, how he brought you to himself. And I tell you, Mike and I, Mike's taking his glasses off because he gets emotional on these things. And I do too. I just got to tell you, I can't, I love hearing how people came to know Christ. And for those that are listening, I hope if you didn't catch that, go back, go online to faithinzone.com, listen to Tunge's testimony again. Religion isn't going to be the answer. Your good outweighing your bad is not going to be the answer. Tunge, you said it. The wages of sin is death, and the beauty of it is, he didn't say whose death that was going to be. It doesn't have to be our death. Jesus paid it for us, and that's the beauty of it. That Jesus paid that penalty for us, and I can't thank you enough. I mean, and you're right. Heaven broke forth in joy when you came to Christ, and I look forward to the day that I'm in heaven, and if there's people still getting saved, I want to get in on that celebration too.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that those guys were excited, because I get excited every time I hear somebody comes to Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do now. And you know, we had Tony Dungy on, and he said for his life it was John Stallworth. And you mentioned
and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. And it doesn't sound like it sounds like it's kind of kept going with guys that they've been bringing on to.
Pastor, not to cut you off, he was in town, Tony Dungy, a couple weeks ago, and I went to hear him speak at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and he still this has not changed. He talked to this crowd. There's 550 people, and he gave a little speech, and then just an hour question and answer with him, with the president from Wisconsin Lutheran College, asked him questions, and he specifically said, "Look, I believe the Lord put me with the Pittsburgh Steelers because this is what happened when I joined the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I walked into that locker room and I saw men who were unabashed. They were not." Scared to say who they were and what they believed in. They weren't what you would consider Bible thumpers, but they walked differently. That's Tony Dungy talking, similar to what Tunge is talking about.
And you know, it seems like something's going on in the NFL because and I'm sure you picked up on the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Foles and those guys as far as their testimony. And I told Mike we have an opportunity to get a hold of a fella who was doing all the training with the horse that just won the Kentucky Derby, Justify, and you know the jockey came on talking about Christ.
They said, "Congratulations, how you feeling?" And he said, "Really good. Let me thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ."
Yeah, usually that's when they take the mic away from everybody. That's kind of how this whole thing started with. We wanted guys to be able to get there and talk about it. But I got to tell you one quick, really funny story about this Kentucky Derby. I guess I didn't watch it, but I guess they've never had a horse that was 3 years of age or older win it. And so they've called it the curse. And the fella training that's a believer says, Justify had to break the curse.
Justify.
I loved it, man. Jesus broke the curse of sin and death.
That's awesome. Guys, we've got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to continue our conversation, and his testimony is just so moving to me. You know, I love the Mike Webster time. Hey, come on over here. Yeah, if Webster.
Back in the plane. I need you in the back of the plane.
Guy like Mike Webster back in the day, if he said, "You come here," I would run. Yes, sir, I'm coming right now. Right now. Go ahead, Tunch.
No, you're right. I mean, I loved those guys, you know, Webby and Colby. And, you know, they were men's men, and I was just so drawn to them. And so I was going to listen, you know, plus, you know, once Webby put the clamps on you, he had hands like vices. You were you weren't going anywhere.
Nowhere. He is Tunch Ilkin, again, offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1980 to 92. Played with our Green Bay Packers in 1993. And we'll continue with him on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
If you didn't hear the last segment, do yourself a favor. Go to faithinthezone.com and listen to segment two as Tunch Ilkin shared his testimony. Tunch, offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1980 to 1992, played for the Packers in 93. And now is what I want to talk a little bit about this segment is he's the pastor of the men's ministry at the Bible Church. Go to Bible Chapel.org. Hey, Tunch, when we started texting back and forth, I think you were in Israel a couple weeks ago, correct?
Yeah. It was great. We went with the church, and that was my second trip to Israel. And, man, Israel, you know, being in the Holy Land and walking where Jesus walked and, you know, walking through the old city, Jerusalem, and being on the Mount of Olives and being at the Garden of Gethsemane and Golgotha and the Garden Tomb. And one of my favorite things is En Gedi, where David and his mighty men, the caves, like 30 caves up there, and I was going, oh, you know? So when you read the Word, man, you know, when you're in Israel, the Word comes alive, and it is just so cool.
It sure does. I've been there, and Tunja, you know what's interesting about En Gedi and all those caves is when you read the Psalms, a lot of those Psalms that David wrote were
right.
cave-dwelling Psalms. That
right.
he was going to put his confidence in the refuge and in the fortress of who God is. And when you read about how King Saul was chasing him around, and you can just see how God just continued to protect him. I mean, he was a dead guy several times, and
right.
you know, something happened and King Saul had to call off the off the raiding party against David. And I liked what you said earlier too, that God has a sense of humor. I mean,
yeah.
to see, he wanted to teach David to completely rely on him. And, you know, we're told in the scripture that David is a man after God's own heart. But how he really would lean and depend on him. But when you get back to Holy Land, I mean, the Sea of Galilee, when we were over there, the Sea of Galilee all of a sudden just went berserk on us. The sun is shining. And our guide told us, he said, you don't see this very often. He said, the winds whip up from the Dead Sea. They go over the Golan Heights, and they come down. And Mike, this sea, they call it a sea, but come on, tell me. It's about like a lake. Not even a big, large lake that you would find here in America. I mean,
yeah.
or even in Wisconsin. I mean, you wouldn't see
yeah.
it. But, man, and it just... I mean, the waves were 7-8 feet. They were hitting the wall to our hotel, and they were going in the first floor. The water was going all the way to the first floor.
Really?
And he said, so when those disciples were on the water and that was happening, and Jesus is down there sleeping in the boat, and they come and get him, and he says, you know, I have authority over nature. I have authority over the power of the earth. And he says, peace be still, and boom, it's calm.
Still.
You're right. That is one beautiful place. And for some reason, they're really getting into American football over there, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing to me.
I know a couple of buddies of mine who went and coached football and shared Christ over there, you know, with Athletes in Action or one of the other sports ministries. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, you talk about the, you know, the way that it whips up and, you know, the Sea of Galilee is like a chute, you know, with 92 feet at Mount Hermon, just like 600 feet below sea level, and all of a sudden, you know, it starts, it, it's it kicks up there, which makes me, you know, that's why I love Peter. Peter got out of the boat. Well, you know, and it, you know, it wasn't like he stepped on a calm sea. It was, like you said, 8-9 foot swells. And, you know, I love John Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. You know,
yep.
He tried to get in the mind of the disciples. What were the other guys thinking? Look, there goes Peter again.
The guy's crazy. The guy's crazy.
Yeah, or if Peter does it, I'm going next. You know, I mean, you know, and so, yeah, but, you know, the highlight, one of the highlights for me, we baptized 30 people in the Jordan River, and it was so moving. Ron was, you know, Ron and I did the baptizing together. And then The other thing was being on the Sea of Galilee in the boat at sunset, watching the sunset, and then hearing worship music, because they did a great job. They played Bless the Lord, All My Soul,
and I was
weeping.
Oh,
it was so powerful. I was weeping. I couldn't stop weeping.
What was the part of the Jordan River? Did you go to the part of the Jordan River that they don't necessarily, they'll do baptisms there, but it's more of the dirty section where John the Baptist was hanging around, or were you more by the city there?
We baptized in the place where it's like a pool. You go in, but we also went to the other place where, you know, our guide said, well, this is the last time I went, where it was actually Jordan. And they said, this is where we believe that Joshua and the Israelites crossed the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we believe John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So we were at both places in 2014. We just went to the one place this time.
Yeah, and you know, when I was there, I hate to sound like a wimp, but I thought, John the Baptist, I mean, it was, I don't know, it was, we were there in the spring and it was still like 110 degrees out there, and the wind was whipping and you're getting sand in your face, and I'm like telling Kathy, my wife, I'm like, hey, let's get back to the bus, you know. And so let's get back to the bus, and I mean, I got on there and I go, honey, I'm a wimp. I mean, John the Baptist, he hung here and this is where he lived, and Jesus kind of said, what, you think he was soft or what?
It's kind of the Oklahoma way, and then
let's get back
to the bus.
Yeah.
That's the way you Oklahoma boys go, right there. That's how you roll. Let's get back to the bus. Our special guest, Tunch Ilkin, played offensive tackle for this Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Tunch, we talk a lot on the show, and Pastor and I've had the conversation as well. How important having good, strong men in the local church is. And you being the men's ministry pastor at the Bible Chapel, how important is that role for you in your church to say, look, we have to have really strong Bible believing, you know, God fearing men that are going to lead this church?
Well, it is everything for me. I mean, it is my greatest passion to see men get excited about following hard after Jesus, guys. You know, I became the men's pastor in 2005, and, you know, when, you know, I wanted to create an environment where men could come without feeling that they were going to be neutered, you know, you know, one of my favorite passages of scripture is the 133rd Psalm, and that's kind of foundationally what our men's ministry is built on, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil being poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, and the collar of his robes is like the dew of Hermon raining down on Mount Zion, for there the Lord commands his blessing, even life forevermore. Now, when you look at that passage of Scripture, you know, what I love about it, number one, when men get excited about Jesus, you can see and feel God's pleasure. You know, when you get, you know, 600-700 men at an event praising Jesus in song, man, you can feel God's pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of that is the anointing of Aaron and the priesthood. And, you know, we're called to be the priests of our home. We are called to be, you know, we don't want, I always say, man, you know, the church is, women get excited about church, men do not. We got to get men excited about church. And so You know, the third part of that is what happens when men get excited about Jesus. Well, the families change. You know, I've heard some statistics that if a kid gets saved, then what percentage, you know, what percentage the families get saved. But when the man gets saved, the percentage is very high. And so, you know, the Jew of Hermon is the lushness of God's people. And then, you know, the Lord's blessing. When guys get excited about Jesus, people change, hearts change, churches change. Yeah. And so, you know, so one of the things that I wanted to do was get men excited about Jesus. And I do use the football model. You know, we have, you know, we want to get together as a team. We want to get together in huddles. You know, that's what we call our discipleship groups, you know, 12 men huddles. You know, and we have Bible studies every day, and we have, you know, we've launched probably 60 some huddles since 2008 is when we started our huddle program. And then we've got our old pro, you know, mentoring, ministry. You know, we call it the old pro and a rook. But you know, we want to see men get excited about football, because when you know, and or get excited about football, get excited about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm excited about both.
Yes, yeah, you are. You talked about it, Jesus and football.
Yeah, and so you know, we put a weight room down in the basement of our church to get guys to lift, I started Fight Club for the Wild at Heart. You know, to draw men in. You know, we were doing boxing and kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. You know, we put mats down in our basement, and you know, it was fun because guys, you know, we got a little carried away. Guys started getting hurt. So,
hey, in that thing, do you get to punch pastors and stuff?
Oh, man.
You know what? One of our pastors, Mike McCormick. He's in Lexington now. He's got his own church, but he was on the pastoral staff at the time. And I drilled Mike accidentally harder than I should have in the sternum, and I broke his sternum. But I want to tell you what a tough guy Mike McCormick is.
He got up and preached the next week, right?
He preached the next week, and he didn't let on that I broke his sternum. So, we've had a lot of fun. But you know, the funny thing is, when we look at the model, Jesus and the 12, Jesus and the 3, Peter, James, and John, Jesus and John. We see the model, all right? So God poured, so Jesus poured in to the disciples. And so we are wired, if we are made in God's image, Jesus in his humanity, he needed the brothers. You know, mm-hmm. We saw what happened at the garden when they kept falling asleep, and he kept praying mm-hmm. and coming back 3 times, praying and coming back, and he was overwhelmed. And yet his bros would not stay away. Mm. We saw that. And, you know, we need guys to help and encourage one another. You know, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother
is born for adversity.
We
yep,
need guys
you're right.
to walk through life. And then, you know, and then we need accountability. Proverbs 27:17. You know, I always say that you can't have the accountability without the love and friendship, you know. I would say you can't have Proverbs 27:17 without Proverbs 17:17.
Yeah.
Because I need to have earned the right. I mean, you look at David and Jonathan, and when Jonathan was gone and Samuel was gone, that's what David felt. You know, Stu Weber in his book Lock and Arm said if Jonathan hadn't died, David would never have fallen. And you know, because who can hold the king into account? Well, someone who's entered into a covenant relationship with him.
No yeah. doubt. Right. Hey, Tunge, I'm yeah. sorry, but I've got to get us to a break. Very.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
no,
sorry.
That's okay.
I'm
quick break, and we'll get back for a short fourth segment. Our special guest, Tunge Ilkin, former offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Faith in the Zone. I'm the fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Everybody.
ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Our special guest, Tunch Ilkin. I've never seen you take so many notes during one of these shows. So
I told you, I knew,
and you did as well, that for us to bring a guy back on Faith in the Zone is just a true blessing. And Tunch Ilkin is just a man that we could sit and talk to for a long time.
Yeah.
Last segment, very short segment. Love talking to these guys about.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple of things. Number one, being in Turkey. Did you grow up playing soccer or football? What's that?
When my uncles would say, "What sports do you play?" I said, "Football, football."
Yeah.
American football or Turkish football?
Yeah.
You know what the Turks call football? War without death.
Wow.
But I grew up here. We immigrated to the States when I was 2.5 years old. So I grew up
Chicago
playing.
Chicago boy.
Okay, so because a lot of guys, you're seeing a lot of really good offensive linemen and things. They learned how to play soccer so they have good footwork. So I was just kind of curious about if you'd played soccer, if that helped you.
You know, I read somewhere when I was doing some research on this that he was the first Turkish born. Football player ever to sign and play in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
So Tunch, what was your highlight? We like to kind of end with that. What was your highlight? Now, we know Jesus and football are your two, and we've really captivated on Jesus. What about football? What was the most exciting moment in your life in football?
You know, I got here after the Steelers had won their fourth Super Bowl, so I didn't play in a Super Bowl. But we probably we beat the Houston Oilers in '89 in the wild card round, and they had beat us twice, and that was the Jerry Glanville era. And I don't know if you guys remember when Chuck went after Jerry Glanville at the end of the game.
Yeah,
because all the cheap. Well, there were so many cheap shots in those games during the Jerry Glanville era that they'd go after us, we'd go after them. So we're down in the House of Pain. And they are just going, and House of Pain posters everywhere. And we end up beating them on a 51-yard field goal by Gary Anderson, who also loves Jesus, in overtime. And I remember all the defensive linemen and linebackers were laying on the ground crying. I was standing, and I never talked trash, but I was standing there going, House of Pain, baby! House of Pain! House of Pain! House of Pain! House of Pain! And that was probably the most joyous moment I've ever had on a football field.
That's
awesome. When you get that win. It wasn't Jerry Glanville that came up with that, you know what NFL stands for?
No fun thing?
not for long.
Not for long. He used to leave like tickets for Elvis. And he was a sideshow all by himself, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Man. He was crazy.
Hey, guys, I thank you so much. Tunch, I really appreciate your willingness to come on. I really do. And you know, the toughest thing with Faith in the Zone at times is to find guests and find guys that will give us the amount of time that we need to do this and to come up and get up on the mountaintop and speak about their faith and speak about their journey and their testimony. And I know you're never shy about doing that. So I really appreciate the time that you've given us. I know that Pastor Ken is now a big Tunch Ilkin fan.
Oh, I am, and I do like the Steelers. You know, I like watching Landry Jones when he gets in there.
Oh, there you go, because he's man, always comes back to good old Oklahoma, doesn't it? I mean, one day we should have you sing the songs from the Broadway show Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, well I can do that.
There you go.
No, I am Tunch. I'm a Tunch fan, man. Thank you for sharing your testimony. That was powerful. I could just keep talking to you, but Mike's going to cut me off.
Got it.
God bless you guys for
you
the
too.
Work you do and for featuring guys and for giving guys an opportunity to tell others about Jesus and how much they love the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone. I'm a fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.